Here we are again at another Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day 2020. Given the state of affairs in this year, is there really a whole lot of reason to be thankful? We live in a continuing pandemic. We've had a tumultuous, to say the least, election year in our nation. We've had racial discord. We've had civil unrest. Rates of depression and anxiety have been going through the roof. Many people are in financial stress and crisis, having either lost their job or not having all the means to provide for themselves or their family. Just saw an article yesterday that talked about how food banks are running out of food. The list goes on, doesn't it? By all accounts, this has truly been a distressing year for many people. Most people can't wait to turn the chapter on 2020 and move on and never remember it. And yet here we have the annual day of Thanksgiving at the end of our calendar year. When you think about this year, is Thanksgiving Day anything more than just the traditional obligation? Oh, sure, Thanksgiving Day, the last Thursday in the month of November. We do our traditions, we go through our processes, we do the same things we typically do. But are we actually thankful this year? Is it anything more than just an obligation that we feel like we need to check off? Well, it's clear that we still have many reasons to be thankful. We should always take stock of the daily blessings that we have in our lives. Some of those daily blessings may be lacking, but I would say for most of us, they are still present. Most of us have good health. We have a loving home to live in. We have family and friends, food on the table. We live in peace and freedom. By all accounts and purposes, those daily blessings and provisions may come and they may go, they may ebb, they may flow, but the Lord still provides. And the wise adage always seems appropriate that things can always get worse. But today, as we reflect on Thanksgiving, let us take one step further and look beyond just the daily provisions of our earthly lives and take a step that can only be taken by faith in Jesus. Let us reflect on the weightier spiritual blessings that God provides for our lives, that whether it's 2019 or 2020 or 2021, are always the same and always present for us. Today we consider how, because of those blessings in Jesus, we can rejoice with thanksgiving even in the most troublesome times of life. And in fact, sometimes because of the most troublesome times of life. We read from the book of Lamentations today, chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to hope and wait quietly. It's hard to imagine a more distressing scene than the one surrounding the book of Lamentations. It is the one book of the Bible that is literally named for sorrow. The prophet Jeremiah wrote this book as he witnessed with his own eyes the destruction of his homeland and the city of Jerusalem, including God's holy temple. All of those things for Jeremiah that were most important in his earthly life were in that moment taken away or destroyed. And yet we have here in this book a light in chapter 3. A light of hope, of goodness, of joy, and of thanksgiving, despite what was going on in Jeremiah's life. We just finished a study on Daniel. And unlike Daniel, who at this same time period was carried off to the land of Babylon, Jeremiah was left behind. Jeremiah was God's prophet, left behind with the people that were not taken away, with the people that the Babylonians considered of the Jewish culture that were not the best or the brightest, the old and the afflicted and the maimed and the injured. And Jeremiah's responsibility was to tend and care for these people by giving them God's word. But throughout Lamentations, he talks about the destruction and the sorrow that he witnessed. War, pestilence, famine, murder, killing. All of these things that are very hard for us to truly get a grasp on in our lives, because the truth of it is that many of us have never seen the things that Jeremiah saw. And yet, in the very middle of this book that was dedicated to lament, we have these words of hope expressed by God's prophet. We have themes of hope, mercy, faithfulness, and salvation. Where do such blessings come from when a person is trapped in the valley of the shadow of death? Well, they can only come from God, from the one true God. And these are the blessings that are the bigger ones. Yes, for the people of Israel and for Jeremiah, their food, their home, their family had been taken away. But no enemy could touch God's unchanging mercy for them and God's unfailing compassion. And the miracle of faith in Jesus for these people and for our lives is that sometimes, because of the experiences that they went through, those very things highlighted the eternal promises that God had given them, the most important things for their lives. Sometimes we need in our lives that reminder of when something in our physical life is taken away. Perhaps the year 2020, where things are continually difficult on our physical lives in many different ways. Perhaps God uses that in our lives to highlight the much greater blessings that we have. It's one thing to understand such things, right? It's one thing to talk about them, but it's a completely different thing to be thankful in the midst of such trials. We may recognize the academic truth that God works in our lives despite the hardships that we encounter, that maybe even He uses those things to bless us. But how can we be thankful in such circumstances? Well, the answer that we gain from Jeremiah's experience here is that a change must take place. And Jeremiah talks about what that change was. It was literally God taking His place, both in assuming and taking on to Himself the suffering that Jeremiah endured, but also filling in eternal blessings for Jeremiah's soul. In fact, in these words, Jeremiah quotes his own soul when he says, "My soul says, the Lord is my portion." That word for portion in the text indicates a plot of land that is divided to a person. It was the same word used when the 12 tribes of Israel first came back into Canaan at the time of the Exodus, and they divided the land among themselves. They divided the portions. Jeremiah says here, when all earthly goods are taken away from me, when I have nothing else on earth, when my family and my friends and my food and my home and my possessions are stripped away from me, the Lord is my portion. It's only when Jeremiah recalled this that hope came back to his heart. And the portion that the Lord had given Jeremiah was His unchanging mercy and His unfailing compassion. Both things can be true, and in our lives as Christians even must be true for hope to really exist by faith in Jesus. We must be, first of all, stripped away from our earthly attachments. We must understand whether or not we still have possessions and food and clothing and family and friends and all those things we confessed about in the first article. We must recognize that whether or not we have those things, our life does not consist, is not about those things alone. but also recognizing that the Lord is always there with us, always there providing for us, and gives us blessings that will never be taken away. Both truths must be present in our minds for us to really and truly have hope. Spiritually speaking, we must abandon not just physical possessions, but any thought or notion that we can accomplish our soul's needs on our own. We must abandon any thought or notion that we can give the kind of fulfillment and happiness that God alone provides. We cannot accomplish that for ourselves. When we try that in our life, when we try to put other things in place of alone what spiritual blessings God gives, we will always be met with despair. Whether we put money or a possession or something of this earth, or whether we put our own attitude and our own pride in that place. God strips us of those things at times so that we would have greater hope and encouragement in what He alone can do. And the blessed product of that is that we can be thankful in all circumstances. Consider what God gives Jeremiah as the first portion, His unchanging mercy. It's good for us to take a word like mercy and reflect on it a bit more, because it's something we use so often, especially in our faith life, that we can dumb ourselves down to the actual meaning of what that word represents. Mercy is goodness and kindness that is directed toward the undeserving. Think of it as a synonym of grace. The Hebrew word for mercy here really emphasizes the steadfast nature of the Lord's love. Steadfast meaning it is faithful, it is unchanging, it is steady for our lives. But we also remember that when it comes to that gift of mercy, it is only given to the one who needs it. And the one who needs mercy is the one who has fallen from God's righteousness. Mercy is not a gift that is given to a person who's already perfect. Mercy is not a blessing that is given to a person who has everything figured out in their life. Mercy is not a blessing that will be accepted and received by a person who trusts in their own path for how to live and for the future. Mercy is always given to the undeserving people of the world, to the ones who are needy and poor in circumstances of both a physical and a spiritual nature. One scholar's interpretation of this Hebrew word for mercy is, quote, kindness, especially as it is extended to the lowly, the needy, and the miserable, end quote. We take a concept like mercy and we rejoice in it. It makes us happy. But we don't always remember what that means for our lives. That we are the needy, we are the miserable, we are the lowly. No one wants to go around boasting in those things today. No one wants to say, hey, I'm thankful around the dinner table today because I'm a miserable sinner before God. No one would thank God for such things. But without that truth being apparent, we would have no place in our lives for God's unchanging mercy. We are in need of mercy because we have messed up in our lives. True, in 2020 or any other year, there's plenty of things beyond our control, plenty of problems that we face that are not our personal responsibility. But when it comes to what we lack before God, we are not innocent bystanders. We do not get to point the finger at somebody else and claim that it is their responsibility that we have problems in our souls. It is our problem. It is our failure before God. Even as Jeremiah contemplated the destruction of Jerusalem that was before him, he considered his own heart. He reflected upon the reality that it was also his sins that brought upon that destruction. Even God's own prophet was not innocent in the matter. The reason we can be honest about that harsh reality today and still be thankful is because of what God's mercy does in our lives. Jeremiah says it keeps us from being consumed. Because of the Lord's unchanging mercy, we are not consumed. Literally, we are not finished or expired. That mercy preserves our lives with God. God does not give us what we deserve because he shows us compassion even though we have fallen from his righteousness. The reason we always have to be thankful for God's mercy is because it is unchanging in our lives. No matter what we have done in the past, no matter what direction we go to in the future, no matter how we treat God or one another in such sinful ways, the Lord always has a promise to us of his unchanging mercy. And sometimes when things in life don't go our way, it can be a greater blessing for our souls to remember, just as Jeremiah did, to recall this mercy from God. The second part of the portion of the Lord for Jeremiah was God's unfailing compassion. Now, to our ears in the English, it may seem like unchanging mercy is no different than unfailing compassion. And they're certainly connected in the text. Jeremiah himself connected them to help fill the thought out for the reader. And it is true that they are synonymous. But there's also an important difference between them. The focus of mercy is upon the person who is in need. Think about mercy being a gift that is from the perspective of the sinner, from the sinner's vantage point. When we think of mercy, what comes to mind first is everything that God spares us from. All the evil, all the wickedness, all the bad stuff in our lives that God has taken away on account of his love for us. So mercy ultimately ends up at love. And that's what it truly is. But it comes from a unique perspective. Compassion also arrives at love, but it comes from the other direction. Compassion, think about it from God's perspective or God's vantage point. Compassion emphasizes not all the bad things that God has taken away, but all of the blessings that God gives in our lives. All of the goodness and kindness and love that he showers upon us in so many tangible and spiritual ways in our lives. And so compassion and mercy meet at the center of God's love. But they help us understand God's love from both perspectives. We see this connection in Jeremiah's words as he compares sinners not being consumed with God's mercy not failing. In verse 22 of the text, Jeremiah says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed." And then he says, "Because his compassions fail not." Notice how God measures the value of your life by comparing you to his compassion. Just as his compassion does not fail, so also you will not be consumed. That shows us the great value that God places upon our lives. There's a lot more to his love and care for us than just taking away the sins that we've committed for ourselves or by protecting us from the evils around us in the world. God also showers upon us innumerable blessings that we cannot even comprehend with our five senses, that can only be apprehended by faith itself given by the Holy Spirit. Contemplate that for a moment in just that single verse. Just like Jeremiah, there may be days where we reach a point of exhaustion and we reflect with great sorrow and lamentation upon the circumstance of our lives. But the Lord's unchanging mercy and the Lord's unfailing compassion are always present for us. And so Jeremiah likens it to something new every morning. These truths are valid and certain for every aspect of our physical lives. When it comes to food, home, family, friends, health, finances, jobs, studies, whatever it may be, the Lord is present. The Lord is acting with mercy and compassion in our lives. But we reach a greater height of understanding and faith when we also recognize these blessings for our souls, that God has also secured for us eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. And because of that mercy, because of that compassion of a spiritual nature to forgive our sins and our transgressions against God's law, we have an eternal inheritance promised to us in heaven. So 2020 has been rough, by no doubt. Many of us may be ready to move on. It's not wrong to think that way. But let us not be foolish enough to think that the struggles and obstacles that we faced in this year are all of a sudden going to vanish when the calendar turns into 2021. Difficulties and trials in life always come and go in different forms, but one certainty is that they will always be present in this sinful world. So instead of us trusting in our own planning and our own efforts to make a better life for ourselves or to win the kind of fulfillment that we want to have for our souls, let us trust in the Lord. Let us rejoice with thanksgiving and reflect upon the blessings that never change. In every circumstance, in every matter, physical and spiritual, the Lord also gives you a portion of His unchanging mercy and His unfailing compassion. And therefore we declare and we believe, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good in all things and at all times. Amen. Please rise.